my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He indeed is Lord. And never, ever, ever lose that perspective. Never, ever, ever lose that understanding that amidst all that goes on in the world, that He is above all, over all, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Yes, greetings to you from the wilderness of cyberspace, which for us is a means and a way that God has chosen to use just to cut through all of the gunk and all of the attempted barriers that are out there in which people continue to try to stand between you and God, me and God. Listen, Jesus Christ, when He came into the earth, what He did was He removed the blocks and the barriers between us and God. He is the gate. He said that no one comes to the Father but by Him. So He is that gate that opens the way for us to walk out of the prison of this world and to connect with our Father. And throughout time, what man has sought to do has been to put another block, another barrier, another gate, another level, another layer between you and God. And that, in and of itself, is only there if you accept it. It's only there if you legitimize it. It's only there if you say, okay, I will allow this to be part of my reality. Because a lot of times these things are untested, and we end up accepting false realities, false paradigms, just because of the social structures and the social constructs that we're surrounded by on a day-to-day basis. Get me there. A little bit of a frog in the throat that comes up sometimes whenever we start to talk. Which is par for the course, by the way. And but anyways, yeah, if you do this, you'll see. we get attacks. But anyways, back to point at hand. The constructs that man seeks to put in the way between you and God, people will always try to do that. You have to understand that there is something that is in the heart of man that wants to keep him from the truth, and there's something that's in the heart of fallen man that allows for that to happen. You know, we've referred to this before in different audios, but there's a case in point. You know, when God was speaking to the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, and when God was speaking to them from the mountain, when that voice was there, in chapter 20, you get God giving the Ten Commandments, you know, and Him speaking from the mountain. And, you know, as He goes through those commandments, and as those are spoken to the people in verse 18, after the Ten Commandments, immediately after, it says, "And all the people saw the thunders and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus shall ye say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And he goes on from there. But there's a principle there, which was that God, from the start, was intending and wanting and desiring to speak directly with His people. But the people themselves, they were terrified with having to be face to face with the living God. And so what they did was they wanted to have Moses now stand there. Here, look, Moses, you go and you talk to God and you come back and you tell us what God said. And if you keep going in the scriptures, when that little setup was there, later on, people then start saying, well, who do you think you are, Moses? Who do you think you are? And the irony is, there is something in us that the desire to not take responsibility for our own lives, our own souls, our own time in the earth. See, while you and I are here in this life, there is a responsibility that we have. You have been given by God, made in the image and the likeness of God. You have been given free will. And you can use that free will and that free will decision and that free will choice to connect with God for yourself, to be made one with Him, which was the prayer of Jesus in John 17, that they may be one in us as I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that they may be one in us, His prayer for the disciples and for all that are afar off, that we may be one in Him. So, that prayer is there. That desire of the Father is there. But God does not override our free will in this. We make a decision and we make a choice. And we can choose to walk out our destiny, or we can choose to allow man to dictate who we will be. Now the irony is that when we allow somebody else to dictate our life and our circumstances, inevitably you are unhappy. Inevitably, you are unfulfilled. Inevitably, you will complain. Why is that? You complain because you are not following God's mandate for yourself. You are an individual, as I am an individual. We have been made uniquely. Just look at your hands. Look at your fingerprints. There's somebody else around you in your car or in your house or whatever. Look at the fingerprint of the other person. They are completely unique. So what makes you think that having a unique fingerprint, a unique mind, a unique thought, a unique ability, a unique everything, that what is going to work for you is going to work for somebody else? See, God speaks to you because you are a unique part of the body, and He wanted you to know His voice for yourself. But when you check out of that, and when you say, no, look, you go and you talk to God for me, and then you come back and you tell me what God said. And then I'm going to listen. And I'm just going to do it like that because I don't want the personal responsibility that comes with hearing God's voice for myself. And you know what ultimately that is too? Is you want somebody to blame when things don't go right. When things don't go your way. When you are unfulfilled. So first the failure to be willing to take responsibility for our own lives, and then a desire to blame somebody else. Oh my gosh, the business of being professional victims in this world has gone into overdrive. The desire to be professional victims in this world has gone into overdrive. Listen, for the follower of Christ, you are nobody's victim. You are no one's victim in this life. You are no one's victim in this world. As Jesus said, I lay down my life of my own accord, only to take it back up again. We, following in the footsteps of Christ Jesus, as the Good Shepherd leads us, we lay down our own lives of our own accord, only to take it up again. That is the right that has been given to us as children of the living God, as heirs of God in the earth. That is our God-given destiny. So we freely walk through this life by choice. We've come into this reality, into this paradigm. We are nobody's victim. So if you've been singing that tune, something's got to shift and something's got to change. You are no one's victim. I am no one's victim. We are here by God's design for a window and a season and a period of time. That's what we're doing here. And God has brought us here for a window. This is not your home. This is not my home. We're visiting into this life for a season. There is nobody that was here 200 years ago that's still here today. And likewise, we will not be here. We transition through this life for a divine purpose. And while you're here, why do you want, in the short flash that your life is here, why do you want that to be dictated by somebody else? Especially when the way has been made for you to hear the voice of God for yourself. My gosh, why would you give that up? Listen, when somebody speaks to you, it should be, when they are led by the Spirit of God, it should confirm that word that the Spirit is speaking in you. It shouldn't be a redirect. It should be a confirmation of what God is already putting in your own heart. It should resonate within you. And I know it resonates within you when God has me to speak to you, because that's how He does it. But I am not the one to dictate and say, this is what you need to do with your life? No! That is not my place. And that is not your place over someone else either. Ultimately, we go through this life, we encourage each other in the Lord, and we encourage each other to become the full manifestation of what God put you in the earth to be in the first place. Now, how does that happen? Well, it starts with a connection. You cannot move through this life and become what God made you to be without being connected to Him in the first place. That's not going to happen. You're not going anywhere without that. So it starts with a connection. It starts with a link. It starts with that. That's the beginning point. That quickening of that DNA in you, that you realize who you are in Him. That's a start. But you got to move from there. And you got to walk this out. You got to walk out this journey. You know, today, just this, it gets stirred in me when it's time to come and share with you guys like this. It gets stirred. And I can't not. There's a couple times where I've tried to sit on this a little bit and God forgive me for being slow and being disobedient in those situations where I know this word needs to get out. And that's part of my own struggle there. But with this word, when it comes and when it goes out like this, we do our role, we do our part, we play that part that God has for us to play as part of the body in the earth, because we are an extension of Him in this earth and in this life. It's not about us. When you are one with the Father, it's now the pressure's off of you. The weight of the world is no longer on your shoulders. You are not the shoulder in the body of Christ. You don't have to carry that. God's given you a role. Take up that role. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why is His yoke easy and His burden light? Well, one thing about that too, and just remembering some of the old Bible studies, but one thing about like even a yoke for an animal is it needed to fit right. And His yoke is easy, His burden is light. It's made for you. It's customized for you. It's in the line of how you were made, how you were designed, your skills, your gifts, your talents, your abilities. Don't worry about the provision. God promised, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things that shall be added unto you? The things you need, God will take care of them. Your needs and not your greeds. And you know what? You don't want your greeds, because your greeds become a bondage in and of themselves as well. I've seen it over and over and over again. The more you have, the more you have to maintain. And this is not to say having things is fine, but let them be what God puts in your hand. God knows what you need. If you need millions of dollars, God will give you millions of dollars. And if you don't need it, then don't need it. Why do you want to carry that? You know, when the children of Israel were heading out into the wilderness, if you think about that situation, if you told those people, you know, for whatever twist and turn of circumstances that they ended up having to be in that wilderness for 40 years, that you were going to spend 40 years in this wilderness. And if they looked at that through their natural eyes, leaving Egypt, first of all, they wouldn't have gone, thinking in a natural way. Secondly, if they did go, if they had to try to plan that out and collect provision for a million plus people for what they would eat, drink, need to wear, and being on foot all that time and traveling about, you'll be paralyzed to make a move with God if you look at things through your natural eyes. This doesn't mean that you don't use your brain. God gave you a brain, but you got to trust Him. And you've got to move forward with that. And when you know that God is moving you, just go and do what God has for you to do. Just move and do what God has for you to do. Realize that the slings and the arrows of the devil are going to come, be shot at you. He's going to shoot at you all the time. Of course, that's par for the course. That's a given. You know that's part of the deal. And you are nobody's victim. So stop talking like that. Stop putting those words out there. Stop making that confession of yourself. Listen, we laid down our lives of our own accord only to take them back up again. We willfully allow God to take us into the challenging situations and circumstances. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We talked about this last time. What in the world are you doing walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, He's the good shepherd. He's leading His sheep, and you trust Him. So you're going to walk with Him wherever He goes. And you know that He's got you. So even though He may be taking you through a dark place, He's right there with you. And even if it might seem terminal and dangerous on every side, you know that the light of truth shines bright and He will lead you through. You know, David knew when he walked through this life, David knew that God was with him. He had that knowing that was buried so deep in his soul to the bedrock of who he was. And he knew when he walked out anywhere that God was with him. So when it was a bear or a lion, didn't matter. He knew that if when it came down to it, toe to toe, that lion is dead. That bear is dead. That's why he knew. It says that he reckoned. He knew, he did an assessment. He did a calculation, and he knew that God was going to show up for him. So when he went into and on that battlefield with Goliath, though man and every other soldier looked at it through their natural eyes, David looked at it through the eyes that God had given him. And he knew when he walked out on that field. Two of us are walking on here. But only one of us is walking off. And I know the God that I serve. So I know I'm the one walking off. So I'm walking out to meet a dead man. And this is not far-fetched. This is the reality. 16-year-old boy can walk out and take on a 9-foot giant and cut off his head with his own sword. You know, the people of God, the people that know the voice of God, they know the power that they've been given in Him. We, brothers and sisters, have not just the promises, we have the fulfillment of so much in the Word. that's already been given to us. We have the Spirit of God living in us, flowing through us. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, I'm gonna send my Spirit. He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. So now, walk in that. Can you walk with that confidence that David walked with? Can you live in that truth that David knew? Or will you continue to be a victim? Will you continue to ask somebody else to stand there between you and God? You know, sometimes I wonder why God has me be silent for a while. And I think part of it, because I'm available 24/7 to God. Whatever He wants, that's the way I want to be. I want to be ready. So whatever it is, God, you know, I'm here. If you need somebody, yeah, I'm there. All right? That's the way I want to live. Now, it's not been perfect, but that's the way I would prefer to live. But there's times where it gets quiet. And I think part of that reason, and this is just now me thinking a little bit out loud, is because God doesn't want you looking to me. He wants you to look to Him. He just has us out here as a nudge in the right direction every now and then. He has us out here because every now and then, you might need something to encourage your spirit and to encourage your heart, knowing that God is with you. God's looking out for you. He's got your back. He's not going to let you down. You are not a victim. You are strong. You've been made the very righteousness of God, and you've been given a new path, a new journey, a new life, and you got to walk this thing out. Yes, we're a reminder of that. Now go and do it. Live. Live the life God made you to live. Don't listen and just contemplate on the sidelines. No. No, 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 no. Listen, there's times that it's going to get rough. Yes. There's going to be times where you're going to be beat up. Yes. There's going to be times that you need to just take a little while and get your bearings. But go through. And allow God to quicken you once again. Put your feet under you and take another step. Trust Him. You know what? You may have tried 100 times, and every time you may have gotten knocked to the ground. Get back up one more time. Get back up one more time. Take one more step one more time. You don't know what's on the horizon for you. Only God knows that. You don't know the eternal ramifications of what it is that you do that God has for you to do. Listen, for us, in our act of obedience here, we don't understand the full carry-on of what this does. All we know is that God quickens us and we do it. And as we do it and as we live and walk in Him, that's good enough. That's good enough. Trust Him. Know that He's not misleading you, not misguiding you, not wasting you. You've been given a beautiful opportunity in this life to know Him, to walk with Him, to share light, to share truth. You know, there is no other configuration outside of this paradigm that we live in, where light and dark can coexist in the same space. My gosh, that in and of itself is an incredible miracle, that the wheat and the tares can grow together. That is incredible to me. That is incredible that we can live in that. And also the fact that we get to live in such a time as this, in a time of transition. where light is breaking forth on every side, where truth is going forward and breaking up and breaking down the old paradigms, where that which people used to do does not work anymore, and light and truth is cutting through. My gosh, what a time to live in. And you get to live in this time right now. So pick your head up. Yes, there's going to be some things that need to be done, okay? But whatever those things are, don't let them overwhelm you. Don't let them consume your mind and your thoughts. Don't let them take over every aspect of your life. And this occasional feeling of hopelessness that comes in. I need to speak to this, all right? That is not of God. That is an attack that is sent to you from the enemy of your soul and from those that work with him. And there are those elements that are there that are sent your way, and it is not part of who you are. So don't think that that's you, because it's not. Just because you've got a thought doesn't mean it was your thought. Doesn't mean that it was put in your... It's not you. Understand the difference between who is you and what is not you. That thought is coming from outside. And just like it came from outside, you need to put it back outside. Don't simmer on those things. Don't accept those things. Don't accept that false reality, that false paradigm, that trick of the devil, which is just a trick. The trick and the intention of that is just to push you in another way, to beat you down to the point that you can't move. And we have all been there, all right? We have all been there. There have been times in my own life where I have literally been on the floor just because of the press that's been there. And you can't even get up. Welcome to the club. You're in good company. But now, pick your head up. Look unto the Father of your soul. And know that He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. And know that He's also given you weapons to destroy the works of the devil. Know that you can pick your head up and you can look that devil in the eye and you can tell him to get out in Jesus' name. You can expose that witchcraft and you can destroy it in Jesus' name. None of it needs to be part of your reality. None of it needs to be part of your experience. And you are moving into a time as you move with God where those weapons of your warfare, you are going to get skill with using those. And you will destroy the works of the devil, as that is God's desire in this time. For this reason, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Second half of that verse, to destroy the works of the devil. We do that. Your very existence does that. But God wants you to do more than exist. He doesn't want you to just survive. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to move on in that which God has for you in this time. Listen, you are timeless, so don't let the illusion of a number and age confuse the actual situation. You are timeless. Throughout, God has showed that it didn't matter if you were too young in the eyes of the world or too old in the eyes of the world, those things meant nothing to God. What meant something to Him was a willing and an obedient heart. Someone that would bow their knee before the King of Kings and say, Lord, your will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. So whether you are 16, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, you're 16 like David going on the battlefield, facing up against Goliath, or whether you're 86, like Abram at the time, listening to the voice of God saying, go out. Leave everything and come follow me. Or 80, like Moses, hearing the voice of God at the burning bush. Didn't matter. God's looking for a willing and an obedient heart. He can work with everything all the way in between. Younger, older, doesn't matter. You can be 120 and God will launch your ministry. That's doable. Why not? Could be just one word that needs to be spoken in the right place that can change everything. And out of the mouths of babes, God has ordained praise. Align your life with Him. Trust Him. You are nobody's victim. And so, that's one thing you need to make sure of, is do not confess along those lines. Do not align your thoughts and the expressions of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do not let the illusion of something that's not even true become the reality that you shape in your own life. Think of the words you say. Think of what you speak over your own life as well as the lives of others. And now, speak the words of God. Speak the truth of God. Just like Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're what God gave me to speak. Jesus lived in union and oneness and unison with God. And He desires that we do the same. So we are engrafted branches, grafted into the vine, and we walk out our lives that way. And when you do that, all else will fall into place. Do not have a man stand between you and God. That is foolishness, and it's a trap. Rather, take the responsibility and be a good steward over your own soul. God will speak to you. He will show you. And what He says, do. And trust Him. And know that He that began a good work in you is going to carry it out to completion. He loves you. We love you too. We're praying for you. God bless you. Hey, we'll catch up with you guys soon. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. We'll talk to you sometime really soon. All right. Bye.